What a beautiful song. Amen. Well, I'm glad you're here this morning. Glad you woke up on time. So all of us can stay. If you want to stand outside and wait for all those who show up during the invitation who didn't set their clocks forward, right? So I'm glad you set your clock forward. And I hope you've had a pleasant morning. But I can tell the congregation's a little weary. And it's hot in here to me. How many are hot? How many are okay? Maybe we shouldn't vote. It's no longer a democracy. This is a dictatorship. All right, then y'all just let me sweat up here. We'll be all right. I'll work up a bigger appetite. Amen, Brother Forte. Well, those are called, were good. Amen. What are they called? Kolaches? Sounds like something you wear. Maybe that's culottes. I don't know. I'm working my way into the message this morning. Amen. Well, we've had a great week. The prophecy conference was wonderful. As I've been preaching some of the great chapters of the Bible, I chose this one. And I wouldn't necessarily put this down as one of the great chapters of the Bible, but this particular chapter and includes my life verse. And here, while I was in college, I came across this verse, and it just touched my heart even then, and still touches my heart every time I read it. And, time is short. And I think this week more than that, anything to me personally, what I got out of the prophecy conference again was that time is short. The Lord is soon to return. And we need to keep on our knees. And we need to keep an eye on the sky. And the Lord is coming back. Look, if you would, with me in Psalm 90, the book of Psalms. Look at with me in Psalm 90. We'll read the entire chapter, then we'll take a couple of thoughts out of this particular passage. As you turn there, think about this for a moment. If you live to be 70, the average person spends 20 years sleeping. Or for those not from Texas, sleeping. 20 years. You spend 20 years working. Spend as much time working as you do sleeping. 6 years eating. For me, that's maybe a little longer. Some of you too. 7 years playing. I guess as an adult, that could be your hobby. 5 years dressing. I don't spend that much time dressing. Maybe they added the ladies and the men's together and then averaged them. 1 year on the phone. 1 year or anything else in it. Oh, man. Now, that's 1 year. I'm not going to spend 1 year on the phone. Some of you know, I'm very nice on the phone and whatever, but kind of like my dad, you know, whatever needs to be said can be said in 30 seconds. No, I'm just kidding. Now y'all be calling, preacher, I don't mean to take 30 more seconds, but don't do that. I'm good. About half of you men are that way, aren't you? Thank you. 5 months tying your shoe. 5 months tying shoes. 1.5 years in church. And this is what's sad. 5 years waiting in line. I think it's maybe a little longer now. 6 months at red lights. And somewhere down here needs to be put down a year for waiting in traffic, right? The average family spends 26 hours watching TV a week. And that's probably up since this statistic. 26 hours. I know this is a cliche, but you know, you bring your kids here to church 3 times a week. They spend, 3 or 4 hours. They're spending 26 hours in front of the TV. Who gets the most influence? You know, be careful. We need to be careful. We understand and we must understand that time is valuable. Let me read you this before we get into the verses. Dr. R.G. Lee, great pastor of yesteryear, pastored one of the largest churches in America for years. in Tennessee said this. He said, if you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,400 that carried no balance from day to day, allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and finally, every evening, canceled whatever part of the amount you had failed to use during the day, what would you do? Draw it out, of course, wouldn't you? That'd draw every sin out every night. Well, you have such a bank, and it's called time. Every morning, it credits you with 86,400 seconds. Every night, it rules it off as lost, whatever of this you have failed to invest to good purpose. It carries no balances. It allows no balances. It allows no burns. It allows no overdrafts. Each day, the bank named Time opens a new account with you. Each night, it burns the records of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. If you had $86,400 and that's what you got every day, and you knew it was going to be burned up at the end of the day, you'd draw every cent out. We need to make use of every bit of time we have. Amen? You know, we think about our family. Spring break and is this week for most of our kids, and we'll be taking some time off this week with our kids. And I know there's some out today. Let's pray for those who are traveling today on spring break. And pray that they do spend that time with their family that they need. Amen? It's important. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. We need to make use of our time. Make good use of our time. Look there with me in Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Let me just stop there if I don't get a chance to. As a watch in the night, 1,000 years to God is just like an evening. Isn't that amazing? Thou carriest them away as with a flood, talking about man. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth and groweth up in the evening. It is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Let me stop in verse 9 too. We spend our years as a tale that is told. In other words, we spend our years as a story that's already done. Instead of looking to the future. We must be careful. Verse 10, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, it is their strength, labor, and sorrow. Let me reread that. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. And here's the verse. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And I hope you'll take and underline that verse in your Bible, if you write in your Bible. I think it's good to be reminded again that we need to number our days. We need to understand that our days are numbered. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and as the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time we have to come and open your word, and Lord, learn from it. And Lord, every one of us this morning can apply this particular verse and this particular chapter to our hearts. Each one of us could do a better job, and Lord, I want to do a better job with my time. Lord, help us to continue to look for that blessed hope of your soon return and live in light of it. Lord, we thank you again for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, we must learn the value of time. It's not about living it up. Get all you can, do all you can, and live it up because time is short. No, it's live for Christ because time is short. Amen? And I'll get ahead of myself, and you've heard this little phrase. Dr. Barber is the one, when I was going to seminary, who said it all the time. All this life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. It's absolutely true. You're not going to take anything with you to heaven, and certainly not going to take anything with you to hell. Amen. We need to lay up for ourselves treasures in this life that will last in eternity. Time is short, but we have a timeless God. Look at verse chapter 90 again. Look at verse 1 and 2. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains are brought forth, or ever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Look at verse 4. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. You understand this morning that God is timeless. God is not confined by time. And we won't go into all the theological discussion behind all this, but understand that we are confined by time, but God is not. To God, everything is happening at the same time. I know we can't in our finite minds comprehend that. We can't. And it's even very hard to illustrate. But right now, God sees everything that's happening right now, past, present, and future. Amen. God is sovereign. He is completely above all, including time. God is all-powerful. God is omniscient. He knows everything. God is God. That's what verse 2. But Thou, before the earth was formed from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. 1,000 years in Thy sight. 1,000 years in our sight, but it's yesterday when it's past, and is a watch in the night. 1,000 years is just as an evening. You sit down in your lazy boy to watch TV for 3 hours or 4 hours in the evening. To God, that's just like 1,000 years. Amazing? Amazing. Time is short, but God is timeless. Everything is present tense with God. Let me just interject something here as just for the Christians here this morning to understand this. If everything is present with God and God is not defined by time, when Jesus Christ died on that cross and He died for your sins, He died for your sins, past, present, and future. Don't ever forget that. Don't let Satan come and try to tempt you or discourage you by saying, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you took that. I can't believe... You know what? Ask for forgiveness. God forgives. Amen? But in your standing before God, it's already forgiven. I'm telling you, it's already forgiven. We believe the Bible teaches eternal security. And this is one of the facts. It's because God is not confined by time. Listen, Christian. Yes, absolutely. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm going to say it in just a moment. You're going to stand before that Bema Seat judgment, the judgment seat of Christ. And we as Christians are going to give an account. And Brother Stewart touched on this. We're going to give an account for our works, whether they be good or bad. But notice the Bible never says that a Christian is going to give an account for his sins. Amen? Our sins are forgiven. I'll never forget. I know I've told this story before, but when I was a teenager, we watched that film. And actually, it was when I was a youth pastor. I showed the film to our youth department. And it was a film where, teenagers were in a car and they wrecked. Some of y'all may have seen it. They wrecked and they were all standing before God. And they were each answering questions that God was giving them. And one of the things in the film, it showed a big screen. And on the big screen was the person's sins. Listen, as a Christian now, as a born-again believer, you will not stand before God and give an account for your sins. They are forgiven because God is not confined by time. My sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. You say, preacher, I can't understand that either. Well, I don't understand it all either. But I know the Bible teaches it. I don't understand the Trinity as well. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says these three are one. That's hard to comprehend in our little finite minds, but you know what? It doesn't make it any more or any less truthful. It is the truth because the Bible teaches it. The Bible tells us. Amen? God is not confined by time. We are confined by time. Our time is short, but God is timeless. Let us never forget that. God is up here, and we're way down there. God is God. I love that. But Thou art God. Thou art God. We have a short time, Verse 5 says, "But thou carest away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth." Look at verse 10. "The days of our years are 70 years. That's 70. And if by reason of strength it be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." We have a short time. We're just pilgrims passing through. Amen? Our time here on earth is short. Psalm 78, verse 39. "For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again." Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand, the Bible says. The Bible says that God literally carried them on His wings, on eagle's wings. A great, great, just miraculous miracle of what God did for the children of Israel. Amen? Again, imagine all the things that Israel had seen. They'd seen the 10 plagues. They'd seen God part the waters of the Red Sea. They walked through on dry ground. The Bible says as they walked through on dry ground that the waters were congealed. Actually, it was like jello. I just imagine those. They could see the fish swimming through. Isn't that amazing? They saw all that. They come over that Red Sea and come to Mount Sinai. And there's God that's on top of Mount Sinai. And Brother Sturt, again, this week described that cloud that came down and thundering and lightning and the earth was shaken. And when God gave the 10 commandments, the children of Israel could hear it. 2 or 3 million Israelites down at the bottom of this mountain, and they could hear God trumpet out the 10 commandments. "Thou shalt not kill." I mean, but it was like thunder, the Bible says. And the Bible describes that the children of Israel were so scared, it was like they were holding their hands over their ears saying, "Please stop, please stop. Tell God to stop." When they saw that, they came through that great deal of Mount Sinai. They watched Moses get water out of a rock. They watched the stick go into the waters of Marah and make them sweet. I mean, they saw all these things, and when they came to the River Jordan, they sent 12 spies over. I mean, this is a real quick summary. Sent 12 spies over. 12 spies go over. They see the fruitful land of Canaan, which God had promised Israel. God had told Abraham, "This is the soil I'll give thee. This land will be yours, and your future generations will have this land." And so they sent the 12 spies over. The 12 spies found the land that was good. It was flowing with milk and honey. It even describes a cluster of grapes that two men had to carry them. One cluster of grapes between two men had to carry them. That's how big the grapes were. Wouldn't you love to have some of that? A grape the size of a cantaloupe, wouldn't that be awesome? I wonder if they were seedless back. Well, you know what? Even if they weren't seedless, they weren't seedless. But even if they, you know, if they had the big seed, you could eat around the seed if it was that big. You don't have to spit it out, right? Be like a baseball inside there. Where did I come up with this stuff? I have no idea. You know, they saw those grapes, but yet 10 spies came back and said, "We are not able to go up. The sons of Anak are there, giants in the land. We are as grasshoppers in our sight." Joshua and Caleb says, "We are well able to overcome it. Let's go in. God promised the land. Let's go in. Let's take it." The children of Israel, because of lack of faith, did not enter the promised land. I want to read you just a passage or two in Numbers. The Bible says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it unto us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us." They're just bread. They're like crumbs. God's already given them to us. "Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But all the congregation bade stones them with stones. And they were going to stone them. "And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses," listen to this, "How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have showed among them, all the great miracles I've done among them, and yet they're still tempting me, they're still provoking me. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they." God told Moses, step out of the way. I'm going to take them out. It's done. I'm going to disinherit them. It's done. Moses, get out of the way. And Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in the might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among his people, and that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and the cloud standeth over thee." In other words, Lord, you can't do that. If you wipe this people out after you've done all these great miracles, the inhabitants of the land will hear it, and they will think you to be a failure and so forth. What did God do? God said to them, all right, they won't go into the land and they're going to wander in the wilderness, the punishment of God. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with the evil congregation that murmur against me? Say unto them, as truly I liveth, saith the Lord, verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all they were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which ye have not murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear, to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which they have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in the wilderness. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. After the number of days in which you searched the land, even 40 days, those 12 spies went and searched the land 40 days, and they were given 40 years of judgment because of it. I said all that to say this. Moses is writing Psalm 90 right after this is announced. The scholars tell us, people who seemingly know. This is one of the oldest Psalms in the Bible, one of the four oldest Psalms in the Psalms. And Moses is standing up and he's singing this. This is a song of Moses. And this song was sung by those who would come to the temple and so forth. And he's reminded the children of Israel how mighty God really is. And reminding Israel how timeless God is. These 40 years are nothing to God, but for them, their carcasses were going to fall in that wilderness. I told you here a while back, I averaged it up again. It means 87 people had to die every day. Every day, 87 people had to die. Probably more than that. 87 people every day for 40 years. Your carcasses are going to fall. Your little ones are going to get to see the land, go into the land, those who are 20 and under. But all those who are 19 and under, all those who are 20 and up, they're going to die in the wilderness. We serve a great God. We serve a timeless God. But our time is limited. Psalm 78, that I read a moment before I started all ended all that, verse 39, is a rehash of Israel's history. And the psalmist says that God, when Israel failed, when Israel provoked God, tempted God, when they tested God, whatever adjective you want to put there, it says that God remembered their frame. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. When they provoked God, God was reminded that their time was short. By the way, God's never reminded, but you get the gist. James chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and vanisheth away." Man, our lives are short in light of eternity. As the Psalm 90 said, we're like a flower that comes up for a little bit, and the sun comes out, dries it up, and it's gone. It's like the grass. The grass is going to start growing here pretty soon. The weeds are already growing. The grass is going to grow. It's going to grow for a little bit. Unless you water it, it's going to go. Amen? That's our life. That's our life. It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. If you could think of a fuse that's being lit. When you were born into this world, and God lit a fuse, and the fuse is continuing to burn. But one day, And God knows the fuse will go out. Now, we don't know that day. So we don't know what will be tomorrow. We don't know what James said. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow. For what is your life? It is in vapor, the fear for a little while. Vanisheth away. Time is short. And because time is short, we should apply our hearts unto wisdom. Look there at Psalm 90. And verse 11 says, "And who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath." God got angry with Israel. Amen? So, in light of that, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Redeem the time. We need to live in light of Christ's return. We need to number our days, apply our hearts unto wisdom. Wisdom is found in doing what is right. I'll give you another definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. Have you ever met a real smart person that had no common sense? I have. I know a few. All of us to a degree, right? Do you realize that common sense, wisdom, is not something you learn? Something you're given by the Creator. You want wisdom? Ask God for it. Amen? Teenagers, you want wisdom? You can go to school all you want. And absolutely, you need to go to school. Amen? And you can go to college and get all the education, and you should. But knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says. Just gaining knowledge will make you prideful. What you need to pray for is wisdom, the ability to apply the knowledge. A lot of people, there's a lot of folks out there who know a lot more Bible than we know. Aren't there? Aren't you amazed how much Bible Brother Stewart knows? I'm just befuddled. It's amazing. And by the way, he's holding back. Sit down with him at a table and talk to him. It's amazing. He's very humble about it. The man's memorized a lot of the Bible. It's amazing. But just knowledge. Now, certainly I'm not talking about Brother Stewart on this, but just knowledge many times makes a person prideful. It's the ability to apply that is what you want. A lot of preachers, a lot of churches out there who have Bible knowledge, but they certainly don't know how to apply it. That's why we have a lot of false religions and so forth. Amen? We need to ask God for wisdom. Teach us to number our days. Lord, time is short. Time is short. Our time is numbered. God is timeless, but our time is numbered. Listen, we must apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let me again emphasize to you that your life ought to have priorities in it. Christian, this morning, there ought to be priorities in your life, and God ought to be number one on the priority list. Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You seek God first, God will take care of your food, He'll take care of your clothes, He'll take care of your shoes, He'll take care of you. Amen? God will take care of you. Seek Him first. Put God first in your life, and your relationship with your fellow man will be what it should be. Put God first. Our time is short. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. Time is short prophetically. And we won't spend much time here because we spent so much time this week. But in the last days, perilous times shall come, 2 Timothy says. It should be scoffers. And it gives you a big long list there. Listen, we are living in the last days. Go home and read 2 Timothy chapter 3, and verses 1 through first half of that chapter. We are in the last days. Christ is soon to return. The rapture could take place right now. And Christian, this morning, we would stand before that bema seat, that judgment seat of Christ, and give an account for our works. Are you ready to stand before God and give an account? Man, I sat there and listened to Brother Stewart this week, and over in my mind, I said to myself, am I ready to stand before God right now? Am I ready to give an account for what I've done for Him? Am I ready to give an account for how I've dealt with my family and with the church that God has given me and so forth and so on? Am I ready to give an account for those things? Are you ready? Are you ready to give an account? So teach us to number our days and may apply our hearts unto wisdom. By the way, the very first sane thing you can do is get saved. Amen. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? Listen, time is short. Do you know the Lord as your Savior? If Christ was returned today, Do you know that you know that you know if you were to die today, you'd have a home in heaven? If you don't, you can know so. You don't have to hope so, think so, maybe so. You can know so. The Bible says that you might know that you have eternal life. You say, well, preacher, you know, I made this, I had this experience, or this, you know, I saw this, had this dream. Listen, don't put your hopes in a dream. Well, preacher, I got baptized when I was a kid and so forth and so on. Listen, don't put your hope in a baptism of a kid. The Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not at works, lest any man should boast. Well, preacher, I joined the church. Joining the church doesn't save you. What saves us? You say, preacher, what's saved mean? Saved means being saved, rescued from the wrath of God that's been placed upon our sins. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have salvation through Jesus Christ. Not through church membership, not through some baptism, not through some priest, not through some whatever you want to put on your list. But we have salvation from the wrath of God through Jesus Christ and His life, His death, and His resurrection. Amen? Listen, if you're here this morning and you haven't settled that, boy, in a moment we're going to sing. You can come down the front and a worker here will show you from the Bible, not our opinion, but from the Bible, how you can know that you can have eternal life. How you can know that your sins can be forgiven. Time is short. The rapture is soon to take place. Are we ready? We ought to seek God's mercy. Look there in chapter 90 again. Let's look there at the rest of the chapter. Verse 13. Return, O Lord, how long? Moses is saying, Lord, return! Lord, don't leave us. In fact, there in one part, he says, God, don't forsake us. If you're not going with us, we're not going either. We need you, Lord. Let me tell you today, more than ever, we need the Lord. In fact, I would tell you, we need a fresh moving of God today. We do. We need a fresh moving of God in the hearts of believers. We need a fresh moving of God in the hearts of our churches today. A fresh stirring, if you would. God, just stir the pot up and get us anxious and get us ready to meet Him. Oh, we need a fresh expression of God. God, return. How long? And let us repent Thee concerning Thy servants. Lord, don't wipe us out. He said, Moses, just stand aside. I'm going to take them out. And I'll raise you up a greater people. Moses said, no, wait, Lord, wait. Well, we thank God for His mercy. Did Israel deserve to be wiped out? I mean, according to the law, they did. The law that they've just been given. Oh, satisfy us early with Thy mercy. Oh, Lord, satisfy us. That word satisfy means satisfaction or happiness. Lord, satisfy us. Lord, make us happy through Thy mercy. You know, happiness is not found in money. Some people say, well, if I reach this point in my job, I'll be happy. And when they get there, they say, well, you know, if I reach this point, I'll be happy. Right? At what point are you going to be happy? Well, if you're putting your happiness in your job and in your money, you'll never find happiness. Happiness is found in the mercies of God and being totally, totally satisfied with life and content because the Lord is my Savior and He's first place. I am satisfied with the Lord. Paul said, whatever state I am in therewith to be content. Now, whether you're here financially, Paul says you can be content in either place. Some of the most godly people I know don't have a lot of money. Amen. Happiness. It's not found in money or friends, alcohol, riches, learning. Happiness is found in God's mercies. Have you experienced God's mercy in your life? You say, what is mercy? Mercy is things that God takes out of our life that we deserve. Have you experienced mercy? Have you experienced grace? Things God puts into our life that we don't deserve. Grace and mercy is where you'll experience happiness. Seek grace and mercy. Lastly, verse 15 there, make us glad according to the days wherein Thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein Thou hast seen evil. Let Thy work appear unto Thy servants, and the glory unto their children. I said one moment ago that we need a fresh expression of God. We need a fresh moving of God. We're raising a generation of children. And I'm basically also in that generation who haven't seen what we would call, you know, a revival like they've seen during the early part of the, you know, early part of the 1900s. Even up to the 1940s, 50s, you know, in those areas. I'm talking about a revival where hundreds and thousands of people getting saved and it's impacting the community and the community turns around to righteousness and godliness. That kind of revival. We need a fresh meeting of the God that our children may witness it. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. Lord, we want to see you move. We want to see you move that our children also would see it. You realize there was a group of Israelites who went into the promised land 40 years after the wilderness who did not see the miracles. Amen? Who did not see the miracles. You know, there were still children being born in those 40 years. Many of those children, the ones who were born in the wilderness, did not see the miracles of God. They didn't see the 10 plagues. They didn't see the parting of the Red Sea. They didn't watch the dolphins swimming right behind them, stick their hand in the jello. I said, man, that would be so cool. Hungry, you stick your fist in the water and grab you out a fish. Mommy, look what I caught with my bare hands. They didn't see that thing. They didn't see the hailstones come down from heaven. They didn't see the water turn into blood. They didn't see the frogs. They didn't see the grasshoppers. And they didn't see the parting of the Red Sea. They didn't see the great smoke on top of Mount Sinai. They didn't see all these great things. They didn't see those things. Lord, show thy glory to our children. I want our children, our youth, our children up in the children's church and junior churches to see God's glory. What does that mean? Who and what He is. I want them to see God express Himself through us. To see us by way of our testimony expressing who He is. Amen? Amen? Time is short. Have your kids experienced their mama and daddy on their knees praying. Have your grandkids experienced it? I've told you many times one of the greatest influences in my life was my grandparents on my dad's side. My papa and grandma, one of the greatest influences in my life, godly grandparents. Boy, they need to see that. Lastly, verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the works of thy hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Boy, we need to serve Him while we have time. Establish our works. Serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Our children need to see us serving. Listen, all this life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Time is short. We should seek Him, and we should serve Him, the psalmist said. Time is short. By the way, we shouldn't be occupied with death. We should be occupied with the Lord. We should not be occupied with death. We should be occupied with today. And looking forward to tomorrow. The Bible's not saying you can't look forward to tomorrow. It just said you don't count your chickens before the hatch. Amen? Oh, we better be careful. Seek Him now while He may be found. Listen, the day's coming. The trumpet's going to sound. Are you ready? Serve Him now. Seek Him now. If you're not saved, seek Him now. The Bible says it's not very far from any of us. If you don't know the Lord as Savior, we pray today you'd come down and accept Him today before it's too late. Brother Tim said that earlier, and I said, that's exactly right. Today is the day of salvation. And then serve Him now. You say, well, I'll teach a class when, you know, next year. I'll do this for the Lord this time. No, you better do it now. He's coming back. And it could be today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Let's all stand.